Theravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asarasata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, Chapter 3, The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan. Text 1. Uddhava Uvacha Tata Sa Agatya Param. Or is that Puram? Puram. Sva Petros Chakirsaya Sham Baladeva Samyutaha Nipatya Tungad Ripu Yuta Natam Hatam Yakarshad Vyasum Ojasorvyam Uddhava Vacha Tata Sagatya Puram Swapitros Chakirshaya Shambhala Deva Samyutta Nipatya Tungad Ripuyuta Natam Hatam Vyakashad Vyasam Ujasur Vyam Uddhava Vacha Tatasa Agatya Puram Swapitros Chakirshaya Shambhala Deva Samyutta Nipatya Tungad Ripuyuta Natam Hatam Vyakarshad Vyasam Ojasorvyam Uddhava Vacha Tata Sagatya Puram Swapitros Shakirshaya Shambhala Deva Samyutaha Nipatya Chungad Ripuyuta Natam Hatam Vyakarshad Vyasam Ojasorvyam. Vaishnavi, Raja, Vaishnavis, Uddhava Vacha, Shikirshaya Shambhala Deva Samyutaha Nipatya Tungad Ripuyuta Natam Atam Vyakarshad Vyasam Ojasorvyam Uddhava Uvacha. Sri Uddhava said, Tataha, thereafter, Saha, the Lord, Agatya, coming, Param, to the city of Mathura, Swapitraho, own parents, Jakirshaya, wishing well, Sham, well-being, Baladeva Samyutaha, with Lord Baladev, Nipatya, dragging down Tungat from the throne. Ripuyuta Natam, leader of public enemies. Hatam, killed. Yakarshat, pulled. Vyasum, dead. Ojasa, by strength. Urvyam, on the ground. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, Sri Uddhava said, thereafter, Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladev, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength. Purport. King Kamsa's death is only briefly described here because such pastimes are vividly and elaborately described in the 10th canto. The Lord proved to be a worthy son of his parents, even at the age of 16 years. Both brothers, Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev, went to Mathura from Vrindavan and killed their maternal uncle, who had given so much trouble to their parents, Vasudev and Devaki. Kamsa was a great giant, and Vasudev and Devaki never thought that Krishna and Balaram, Baladeva, would be able to kill such a great and strong enemy. When the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, their parents feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long in the house of Nanda Maharaj. The parents of the Lord, due to parental affection, felt extreme danger, and they almost fainted. Just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa, Krishna and Baladev pulled Kamsa's dead body along the ground to encourage them. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So normally we're told that, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the pastimes of Krishna are discussed in the 10th canto, and that to understand them, you have to go first through the first 9 cantos. But, you know, as we're seeing in the last chapter and in this chapter, the pastimes of the Lord are described briefly, even in the early cantos. Like the last verse of the last chapter was a one verse mention of the rasa dance. And now we're getting another brief description of Krishna entering Mathura and killing Kamsa. So it's like in movie shows, sometimes you get previews of coming attractions. So it's very interesting how the Srimad Bhagavatam is put together, that even in these early cantos that deal extensively with topics related to the creation of the universe and things like that. We get these glimpses of Krishna's 10th canto pastimes. So, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Parachanaya sadhunam vinashyaja dushkritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So he comes to this world to protect and inspire his devotees, to destroy the demoniac, the asuras, and to establish the principles of religion. So it's mentioned here how Krishna and Balaram, along with the cowherd boys, they entered the city of Mathura, which was the capital of King Kamsa. And it's as stated in his purport, at that time Krishna was 16 years old, teenager. So he's a pretty rowdy teenager. the entry of Krishna and Balaram, and you could say their gang of cowherd boys coming into Mathura, the city of King Kamsa, kind of reminds me of some movies in the 1950s, The Wild One, starring Marlon Brando, about a motorcycle gang that terrorizes a town. Or Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean starring in it. I was thinking Krishna's kind of like the rebel without a cause too, because he's the uncaused cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. So he's, of course, it's on a completely different platform. Techamsa kalapumsa. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of everything. He's beyond the goodness and badness of this material world. He operates on a completely transcendental platform. But anyways, it's Kamsa quickly became aware of Krishna's entrance into Mathura. He learned about all the different things that Krishna did. When he entered the city, the first person he encountered was a laundry man, a washerman, who was an employee of King Kamsa's, would provide him with cloth and launder his clothes and things like that. So, first thing is, Krishna encounters this washerman who was carrying a load of cloth and for Kamsa. He said, it would be very nice if you gave to me some of that beautiful cloth that you're carrying. And the washer said, you can't have that. That belongs to the king. And if you ask for the king's possessions, you're a criminal. course, he didn't understand, because aham sarvasya parvo, everything comes from me, everything is my property. So Krishna can take whatever he likes. But, you know, this washerman, because of bad association with Kamsa, he decided no. So what did Krishna do? It stays in Krishna book, just with his hand. off goes his head. And then, you know, he and Balarama start going through the cloth. Oh, that's nice. That's your color, blue. Take that. There's something golden colored. I'll take that. And yeah, they went around. And cowherd boys come. You want some cloth? We got some. And then there was what Srila Prabhupada describes in Krishna book as a devotee tailor. You know, he offered to make some nice clothes out of the cloth, so he very quickly did that, you know, made some clothes for Krishna. You know, just like our wonderful devotees here make nice clothes for Krishna and Radharani and all of the deities. They have their own personal tailors, dressmakers. So in the same way, this devotee tailor made some nice clothes for Krishna and Balarama, the cowherd boy, so they dressed themselves up. Then there was another servant of Kamsa, hunchback girl, Kubja, who made sandalwood paste for Kamsa, and Krishna, Balaram, they asked for that, so she gave that to them. And Krishna made her into a beautiful girl. But anyway, so these things were going on. Krishna also met a nice florist, flower seller named Sudam. But then, more directly related to Kamsa, Krishna, he asked the people of Mathura, I hear there's going to be some big sacrifice here. Where is the sacrificial arena? So they gave him some directions, and he went to that place. And there, Kamsa had installed this big bow that, you know, was going to be used in the sacrifice, you know, where the great personalities who came were going to try to string this bow. And there were some guards around it, you know, just like if they were having a festival or a carnival here and they were setting up things, you know, there'd be guards around. So Krishna came up to the bow, and the guard said, you can't come here, get back. And Krishna just ignored them. You know, he took the bow, he strung it, and actually he was so powerful that he broke it in half. And the guards were really upset with him, so they attacked. And then Krishna, Balaram just destroyed them. So when Kamsa heard about this, you know, that there's some disturbance in the city, you know, these ruffians from the countryside have come in here and they've broken the bow, and, you know, so Kamsa kind of called out the National Guard. You know, like, you know, he sent some troops to deal with the situation. So Krishna and Balaram just picked up the two pieces of the broken bow and used them as a weapon to kill all those troops. And then Krishna decided he's finished for the day, that that'll be enough, you know, to give that Kamsa some warning. So they decide to go back to their camp. You know, the cowherd boys, and they had set up a little camp on the outskirts of Mathura. So Krishna and Balaram, they went back to have a pleasant evening at their camp. Meanwhile, Kamsa had heard about all these things. His troops had been killed, the guards had been killed, and he could understand that the child, the eighth child of Devaki, who had been predicted to be his death, was now in town. So he was having all kinds of bad dreams and bad visions. You know, stated that, you know, he would see holes in his shadow. He would see himself naked with, you know, garland on. There were all kinds of bad images and omens that were signifying his death. But he maintained his animosity towards Krishna. Actually, he had this whole big plan arranged for them to be killed by either this elephant, Kuvalayapida, or by wrestlers, Mushtika and Chanura, in the arena. So he had a plan like that. So the next day, Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, they went from the camp into Mathura. And first they encountered the elephant. And Krishna, Balaram, they killed the elephant. And they took the tusk of the elephant into the arena. And then they were confronted by the wrestlers, Mushtika and Chanura. And the wrestlers spoke to Krishna and Balaram in a nice way. Oh, we hear you cowherd boys like to wrestle with each other. So let's have a little match here. Yeah, we hear you're very powerful. We'll have a little match if it's all right with you. And Krishna said, you know, we're just cowherd boys. Yes, we like to wrestle among our friends, but yeah, it wouldn't be very nice for the people gathered here for big professional wrestlers like yourselves to take on some boys like us. And they said, we know you're a little bit stronger than that. We saw what you did to that elephant, that huge elephant. You just ripped him apart. So we think it'll be fine. But the people, because in the arena were all the residents of Mathura and also the residents of Vrindavan. They had also come, you know, for this big event. And you know, some of the ladies especially were saying, no, there can't be a fight like this between those big wrestlers and these boys. But Kamsa insisted that the fight go on. So Krishna and Balaram destroyed Mushtika and Chanura and all the other wrestlers there. They killed them. So then what was supposed to happen? There was a band there. And the band had been instructed, okay, when the victors come forth, when we see who the victors are, and the victors were supposed to be Mushtika and Chanura. It wasn't expected that they would be Krishna and Balaram. They were supposed to be killed. But, you know, when it turned out there's the victors, Krishna and Balaram, so the band starts playing, you know, like the victory song for the victors. And Kamsa said, wait, stop. You know, you can't. These are criminals. And it's Krishna and Balaram. They have to be killed. And the cowherd boys, they have to be plundered. Take all their riches from them. And this Nanda Maharaj, he should be killed. And Vasudev, you know, who's always been plotting against me, he should be killed. And Ugrasen, my father, who's always been opposed to me, he should also be, you know. And then Krishna just went up onto the platform where his King Kamsa's throne had been erected, and he had been there as the chief guest of the event. Krishna went and knocked his crown off, grabbed his hair, pulled him down into the arena, and pounded on him until he was dead. And in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, he shouldn't have done that according to the Vedic rules and regulations, because it was his maternal uncle, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, and according to the Vedic injunctions, he shouldn't have done that. But Srila Prabhupada explained, normally Krishna goes along with the Vedic injunctions unless there is some very good reason for him not to. I mean, he's not bound by the Vedic injunctions, but normally he follows them to set a good example. But Srila Prabhupada explained that in this case, only Krishna could have killed Kamsa, who was performing so many dastardly activities, like, you know, killing all the children who had been born recently in the Vrindavan area, or the whole area of his kingdom, actually. He had been doing many demoniac things. But in this case, because only Krishna could have dealt with him, Krishna dealt with him, even though technically, according to the Vedic injunctions, he shouldn't. But as mentioned in this purport by Srila Prabhupada, Vasudeva and Devaki were a little bit worried, you know, that, you know, Krishna was going to be punished or even killed by Kamsa. So they were afraid, you know, that he wasn't really dead. You know, when Krishna had dragged him down into the arena and pounded on him on his chest with his fist and got him to leave his body. So just to assure them, assure his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, that Kamsa was really dead. Krishna and Balaram dragged the body around just to show them it was really a corpse. But it stated that Kamsa got Sarupya Mukti. He got a form exactly like that of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. So okay, let's stop there. Any comments? Yes, Prigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. Easy to get absorbed in these stories the way you tell them. My question is, why does Krishna wait so long? Okay, so, you know, Krishna killed Kamsa and Krishna did a lot of other far-out things. But why did he, you know, wait so long? Because in the meantime, a lot of devotees, children are being killed, as you mentioned. Kamsa was killing all the young children throughout the land, and Vasudeva and Devaki were in prison, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why didn't he just do it much more quickly?
Well, I think that issue is also raised in connection with the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev. You know, in other words, why does he allow Hiranyakashipu to fight him? For, you know, why does it seem like a fight? You know, that sometimes Hiranyakashipu is, you know, surviving. You know, so I think Srila Prabhupada explains, it's like a cat will play with a mouse, you know, before pouncing on it. You know, so could be something like that, that's just Krishna's pleasure, to increase his pleasure and the ecstatic experiences of the devotees. He does things in that way. For him, it's all lila. And whatever increases his pleasure, things go on in that way. So, does anyone else have any comment on that?
Well, so.
Okay. Yeah, extending that question, one may ask, yes, it's Krishna's pleasure, but in the meantime, people are dying, suffering. But Krishna knows the soul does not die. We don't know that. We're going through this bad dream. Like last night, I had a horrible nightmare. But because I've been a little bit trained in Krishna consciousness, I didn't take it so seriously. Okay, some bad element is passing through this neighborhood and decided to attack me. It's all right. Hare Krishna. Jai Nrisimhadev Bhagavan. Like that. And it passed. So similarly, the soul in the material world is suffering just for a brief moment. And Krishna makes that adjustment. If because you may think, okay, Hiranyakashipu, or in this case, Kamsa, killed so many children. How is that okay? They're not dead. The soul is still alive. And whatever suffering they apparently went through is being adjusted by the Supreme Lord because it's part of his pastime. But we don't see that. We're just seeing, because we're attached to the material plane, we're seeing that this person is suffering, that person is dying. Oh, no. But it's not really happening. It's like a bad dream. And Krishna's adjusting the whole thing. And he actually says that. And when the demigods approached him before, you know, he came to kill Hiranyakashipu, he said that. You just have to be patient. Yes, I know these things are going on, you know, but just be patient. I have arranged the whole thing. Everything will be taken care of. So sometimes we just have to be patient. We can't expect that the Lord to be our order supplier, that this person has offended me, kill him right now. No, Krishna will do it in his own time.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this one verse where it says, Krishna is Rasika's Shekhar. So he enjoys all different rasas. So he also enjoys the Veera Rasa and all these different flavors. And you can see how Srila Prabhupada mentions in this verse, after killing Kamsa, just to encourage his parents, he dragged him around the arena. So it's like, you know, you would think it's not compassionate. He's not being compassionate to Krishna, to Kamsa. But this is the rasa with Kamsa. So Krishna is the most expert in all different flavors. So he's showing those other flavors also here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also stated that, you know, he enjoyed just walking around the city in defiance of Kamsa's law and order.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, who cares?
And it's like great fun for all the residents of Vrindavan, all these cowherd friends. They are having fun because they know these guys can't do anything to Krishna. They have so much faith. So they know it's just like, you know, every day we do these things in the forest anyways. Today is here. It's just a different setting.
So. And if he did everything right, yeah, in the beginning, you know, didn't wait so long, then what would he do? You know, like you say, there's variety of rasas and pastimes. Krishna enjoys all of them.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. We heard from Srila Prabhupada and also from the scriptures that everything Krishna does is all good. And when we try to measure sometimes or calculate why this happened, it doesn't look, it doesn't match, it doesn't fit. It's in our conditioning, and we like to see things the way we see it. So I have a question too. Now, we know that Krishna is like the main writer. He's the director of the drama. He's the actor. He does everything. And my question will be that, you know, like, for example, when I heard the first time that Kamsa was really scared about, you know, the 8 children of the Vaki will kill him, I thought, well, in my understanding, it's so simple. Just don't put him in the same jail. Put Devaki in another jail. Put Kamsa in another jail. Problem is solved. Then I thought, so my question is to you, is that the work of Yoga Maya that covers him? Krishna wanted it to happen that way, that he couldn't figure out, you know, it's like, what will be the to fear? Devaki is going to be in another place, Kamsa is going to another place, there's no child. Is that the work of Yoga Maya?
Yeah, the general principle is that Yoga Maya arranges the pastimes of Lord Krishna. I mean, that's stated in several places, you know, that these things are arranged by Yoga Maya. But Yoga Maya arranges for the residents of Vrindavan or Mathura, you know, like to not perceive Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Although occasionally they become aware of it. You know, like Mother Yashoda getting a vision of Krishna's universal form, you know, looking in his mouth, and then she becomes aware, oh, you know. But normally they're covered over like that. And then there's also Mahamaya that covers the conditioned souls over. But It's also said that Yoga Maya arranges for Krishna not to be in that mood of, you know, the supreme controller, and agreed to be under the influence of the loving devotion of his devotees, like, you know, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, his mother and father. You know, yeah. So something else. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.